Well, welcome everyone. Good to have you here for worship today. It's awesome to worship with you. I can't wait till we're all back in the room. Can you believe we are at week six? This is our sixth broadcast with no one in the room except for a few people helping make this happen. And we're in all our rooms all over the country, in this region, and in some places around the world. So we welcome you again to Christ the King and what God's doing in and through this ministry. Ministry hadn't stopped at all, as Stephen shared with you. It's actually increased as our staff has retooled and offering many more things online, and food pantries up and going, COVID relief dynamics are up and going. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the generosity that helps make these things continue to happen. We'll continue, obviously, online for a while. We're going to continue to partner with our government officials, and we want as much as you do for this thing to be over and to move forward. Keep in touch with us, and we'll keep walking with you in this journey. So what we wanted to start today is a series called Finding Strength, how much we need strength in these times. And I want to have you focus in on this passage. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It goes like this. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Okay? I can do all things through him, Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. I want you to commit that verse to memory. You're going to hear it a lot of times over the next several weeks. But what I want us to be thinking about in this series is how do we become less about our ability to strengthen ourselves, and more about understanding God's ability to strengthen us. That's a shift, because we don't necessarily grow up thinking about God's going to give me strength. Many times we're growing up, we're taught ourselves to just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Get yourself together. Find your own strength to accomplish something. But that's not what we're talking about in this series, because the strength that God can give to you and to me is far greater than any strength that we can muster up. So that's what I want us to deal with in these weeks to come, is what is this strength that God wants to give us, and how do we have full access to it? Hear me clearly. Full access to it. Not partial access, not coming and going. Oh, I need strength today, but I don't need tomorrow. But we have full access to this strength. So here are some things that we're going to be talking about, and I want to whet your appetite a little bit so you can be inviting your friends and your family to join us as we move forward. Today, I want to talk about how we find strength to persevere in adversity. That's right where we are in the midst of this virus, weeks to go before things begin to make a turn. I want us to talk about how we thrive or find strength to thrive in the midst of our circumstances. Sarah's going to share with you next week, and that's going to be a huge message, because many of us find ourselves where we are. What do we do about it? How do we find strength in the very place that we are? Marilyn and I are going to share a message with you to how to find strength and how to submit to one another in marriages. So she's going to be up here on the stage with me, and we're going to talk about how do we learn to submit to one another? How do you find that strength when you don't want to submit to one another? On Mother's Day, we want to talk about how we find strength to love our family well. That's a huge one, because your family is always your family, whether they've grown up or they're very small. How do we have strength to love our family well? We want to talk about how do we find strength to overcome evil. That's a huge one, because we're always tempted all the time. We want to talk about finding strength to capture negative thoughts and destructive thoughts in our minds. That also is huge, because as you're probably experiencing right now, sometimes it's hard to get the stuff going on in your mind out of your mind so you can actually live a joyful life. We're going to talk about how we find strength there. The ability to forgive, the ability to turn the other cheek, all those are things that we want to look at, because in the scripture, God says, I will give you strength. So let's dive in today. Finding strength to persevere in adversity. I want us to be very real in this conversation today. So what I want to give you is some very earthly, down-earth types of things and practical applications that you and I can walk every day in the midst of this strength that God wants to give us. You know, when we're in times which are difficult, we can do two different things. One is, we can take things into our own hands. How many of us have done that? You know, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a decision. Or we can put things in God's hands. and we can listen to what God wants to do. We're going to go one of those two directions. You're probably calculating right now how many times you've gone in one of those directions or the other. Now, in the scriptures, there's a beautiful image of how that turned out differently. One was in the book of Samuel, in the Old Testament, Samuel chapter 28. There's a situation where Saul, who was the king of God's people at that time, the king of Israel, and Samuel had taught Saul, he was the prophet in the time, that you should only go to God to find strength and to make decisions and directions. And the king was to go to God in order to guide the land well. Well, in that time, King Saul had actually said that no one was to go to a Median or to go to a witch or to go to one who was a fortune teller to try to learn or to try to get ideas, that you were to go to God, okay? Well, when hard times fell on Saul, when the Philistine army was coming in and he was wondering what was going to happen and he was seeking God, but he wasn't getting the answers, he breaks his own decree and immediately goes to Midians and begins to seek wisdom and advice in other directions. Well, that didn't go well for him. And it never went well for him. In fact, Saul began to make some pretty poor decisions, and those poor decisions ended up getting Saul killed along with his family later on in the scriptures. Well, we see another situation with David, and it's recorded in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. But this was a pattern that David had because he didn't always seek God for strength. In fact, when he didn't seek God for strength, you may know some of the stories of David, things did not go well. Well, in this one particular situation, there were armies that had come in, and they had moved into the towns and cities where David's family was, and many others. They had burned the town to the ground, and they had taken away David's family, along with all the other families, as hostage. Now, this made all of David's people angry, the other soldiers that were with him, and they wanted to kill David. You know, it's kind of when everything's caving in, you just want to blame someone, and all the blame was going toward the leader, David, who was not king at this time. And it says in this passage, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, this: David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Underline that in your passage. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So I want to ask you, when you're in the midst of things that are really difficult, decisions that are hard to make, when life is pressing in on you, and maybe everybody's pressing on you for a decision, and you don't have a decision, or you're being blamed for this or that, or things are just happening that are completely out of your control, what do you do? What comes after the but? David could have done many things. He could have picked up his swords and taken off in there. He could have lashed out against those who were blaming him. But it says, but David literally humbled himself, got on his knees, and found strength in the Lord. He was beginning to learn that the Lord was his strength in everything. And before he'd make a decision, before he'd make a move, and before he'd be king, he would begin to say, you know, life goes better if I find that strength in the Lord. All the great ones in Scripture, all the great ones in the midst of life, have found that strength. Now think about Jesus in the garden, where he was praying for the strength of God before going to the cross. Now think about Jesus in the beginning of his ministry, when he's in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and he's fasting. He couldn't find strength in food or any other place. He found strength in the Lord. And when temptation came, he was able to stand firm. I think about Paul in the scriptures and all the difficulties and the loneliness and the imprisonment and the things when he was out telling people about Christ that were not going well. How he learned to find strength in God. And that's the passage he wrote to the Philippians. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. If they can learn it, so can we. God's strength is available for you and for me. the challenge that we face, and I face, is the blocks that get in the way. Now, what I want you to do is in the mobile app, if you are able to open that, or pull out a pen and paper, and let's kind of walk through this together. And as you're studying through the week, I want you to think about these blocks. Are they real in your life, and are they keeping you from finding the strength that God wants to give you? And then I want to talk about what are the patterns that can be a part of our lives that have us really find the fulfillment of God's strength. So first, let's take a look at what some of the blocks are. You know, one of the maybe the most significant block is pride. You know, what's right in the middle of that word? You've heard me say it before. I is there. You know, pride has me at the center, and I come first above everything. Pride has you say, I can do it myself. Pride has you unwilling to admit you have a need or difficulty. You can pick it all up. You can do for your own. I often said that, you know, what is the definition of stress? I'll take it from here, God. There you go. Things are not going to go. That's a part of pride. Pride tries to hide and keeps us from being vulnerable. Pride builds on itself, and it causes us to make bad decisions, and it causes relationships that are already going bad to have to be blamed in order to get better. But it never happens that way, because it keeps building deeper and deeper on itself. Paul learned a whole lot about pride, and I think he understood it when he wrote this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He said, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Wow. I love how the Message version puts it. It goes like this. It's not on your screen, but this is the Message version, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate a God confidence. See, that's kind of finding strength in God. That's a God confidence that he wants for you. We learn to swallow the pride and know that what Paul remembered in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. See, that's a God strength. That's a God strength that he has for you, and he wants us to have it. So how do you know that you have pride? So let me just throw out some potential clarifying questions. I know they hit me. Some could be this. You can write them down. Do you pray before making decisions? If you don't, there's a pride there. I think I can do this myself. Do you pray before doing something difficult? Or do you just lift up and do it? Do you wait for God before jumping in? Like when you're praying, do you just like, oh, God's not going to answer, so I'm just going to do it anyway? Or do you wait and listen? Do you seek the counsel of others? If you never do, there's a pride issue going on. Do you ask others for help, or do you do it yourself? Another question may be, do you think God won't or can't help you? That's a pride issue. Basically saying you're bigger than God. So that's one of the key blocks, and it's all over the scriptures of how Jesus taught about how to break down that pride and set that aside. And I want you to understand that so we can just lay it down and we can find that strength that God wants us to have. Another block is this, is control. Now, why do we want control? Well, we know why we want control. Because we want it to come out the way that we want it, right? And if we give it to God, maybe God won't do it the way we want it. You know, imagine that. You know, one of our fears of giving it to God is it may not be what we want. But isn't God's way the best way? Ultimately, it always ends up being the best way. It's just in our pride, we want to do it our way. So control becomes a piece of a block for us living in the strength of God. Listen to this, what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things are working together for good, according to his purpose, to his purpose. Trust that about God. It allows you to give up control if you know that God is in control and he's working it out in a good way. I think Job says it well in chapter 12 of Job, verse 10. Job was one of those characters in the Old Testament, man, he was beat up in every way. Talk about having to persevere. Job learned a lot, but if he didn't learn anything else, he learned this, and he goes like this. In God's hand is life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. You know, that's letting go of control. God, in your hand, it's all there. I'm going to put down my pride, I'm going to put down my control, and I'm going to trust in your next step. A third block can be impatience. Boy, I can live there, and maybe you are too. You know, God, here we go. But we don't hear anything. What now? What do we do? God, I want you to fix my family. I want you to fix this problem. I want you to fix the issues that are going on in the world. But when? So the issue is what do we do while we wait? You see, God created us to live with him. It's not God doing and us sitting back watching. We're walking together with God. It's a fluid relationship. We're trusting God with everything in our lives, and we're doing everything he wants to do. For example, I might say, God, you're not doing anything in my marriage. I want you to work it out. And you become impatient, so you just take things in your own hands. I'm just going to leave my marriage. Or you start doing something drastic. Well, no, God's saying, do what I've told you to do. Love your spouse. Serve them every day. Just keep doing it. Go to counseling. Seek the wisdom of other Christian leaders. And wait. Wait on my Holy Spirit to stir in your hearts and to change and to grow you, to grow your character, to grow your marriage, to grow your life. But you keep doing what I want you to do. See, that's a patience. It allows us to give up the control and to give up the pride, allow God to move, but to be active in the midst of it. The fourth block, there are many, but that I want to talk about today is this, unawareness. There's some of you that are watching today that this is brand new to you. Maybe you've never heard that God can be your strength. You weren't raised in a family that ever talked about God, or you never heard your parents ever get on their knees and pray for strength from God, and you never even realized that God's strength was possible for your life. I'm here to tell you that it is. And what David did when he found strength in the Lord in difficult times, what millions upon millions of other Christians do when they get on their knees in humbleness before God and they find strength in their life, that is available for all of us. It's for you. So today, I've given you a lot of scripture text that are available on your online app in the study notes just to help you know some of the promises of God for his strength for your life. So let's switch over a little bit from the blocks. What kind of things can you and I do that become a part of the patterns of our lives so that we live with a strength that is ongoing all the time? You know, it's interesting. When we learn the patterns of finding strength in God, it's almost like we don't find ourselves broken or not near as much. Let me illustrate it like this. We teach a financial peace class, and we help people get their finances under control in their life. And what we talk about is instead of living your financial life in a worldly way, live it in a godly way, because the way that God has taught us to live finances allows us to live in a very good way. So we talk about things like forming a budget, living within our means, having an emergency fund of 2 or 3 months, and all kinds of patterns that help you to live solid financial lives. And it's incredible. And it's always interesting what I hear from people is that once they have an emergency fund, they never have a financial emergency. You know, something breaks down, you got funds to do it. You're never so far above your means that when when something happens in your life or there's a shift or a change, like a lot of things going on now, a lost a job or a change of job, they don't find themselves in emergency because they've been in this pattern all along. Well, the same is true when we're finding strength with God. When we have patterns in our lives by which we're seeking God every day, then when things come about in our lives that are confusing, they're hard, things like COVID-19, when the world just changes on a dime so quickly and we're not sure what to do, we find ourselves in a deeper sense of peace and understanding, and we're able to hear where God's moving us all along the way. We don't get as anxious, we don't get as struggled, because we're used to an input, we're used to a strength coming into our lives all the time. This is what I want you to have now and going forward. So here's some of the patterns that you can think about. One is humbling ourselves before God. Well, that comes without question. It's the opposite of pride. Humbling ourselves before God. You know, instead of coming to God, prideful God, you can't do anything, it's humbling ourselves. Listen to this passage from 1 Peter, chapter 5, beginning of verse 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, this is from Peter, who we could say was probably one of the most prideful disciples. He was always bold and out front and felt like he could do it all himself. What he learned is, man, I've got to humble myself before God. And I'm going to cast my anxieties on him. That's a place of humility. It means that you believe God is powerful. It means that you believe that God will lead you to greener pastures. Remember, he's the shepherd leading us. It means that you really believe God is the way and the truth and the life. And you're humbling yourselves before him. And that becomes a pattern of your lives. It means you're going to him when you're in your prayer life for your decisions. You're going to him in your actions, in your marriage, and with your kids. You're seeking God. You're humble, and you're longing for him. The second is this: consistent awareness of God's promises. Wow. You know, one of the struggles about finding strength with God is we don't know what strength God wants to give us. You know, consistent awareness of his promises is huge. Now, how do we know what his promises are? They're in the Word. So I want to encourage you for daily devotions. I want to encourage you to come online with us and the things that are being shared with you every week, to be in your community groups, to continue to learn of the promises. Many of the scriptures that I've given you list the promises of God. You can literally go on a Google search or some search engine and type in the greatest promises of God, and they will just scroll down, and you can read them in devotions every single day, becoming aware of God's promises. God wants to help you. And the more you're aware of how he wants to help you, the more you'll tap in to what that gift is for you. Listen to this word from Isaiah. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. It goes like this. Isaiah 26, beginning with verse 3. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace. Just hold on to that a moment. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord you have an everlasting rock. Now, what does it mean to be steadfast in mind? Does it mean that my mind is always going to be healthy and strong? No, that's not what we're saying. You know, our mind can get messed up in the midst. We can get depressed. We can be struggling. We can be downcast. We can feel like we're walking through mire every day. The decisions are difficult. We're living in a fog. What he's talking about here, those who are steadfast of mind, that means those who are seeking God, he becomes a rock. He becomes a strength. That's what we can do. That's a pattern. When we're struggling, instead of looking at everything else, we begin to look toward God. We set our heart and our mind on him. We think about the things that are above, the things that are the promises of God that he has for us. Listen to this from David for a moment. This is the same king I talked to you about. He's now King David in chapter 40 of Psalms, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this carefully. And just answer for me, was David a little depressed? Was he a little bit struggling with the decisions and struggles he had in his life? I would think so. Listen carefully. It says this. I waited patiently. Literally, you could say he was sitting at the doorstep of God. I was waiting patiently for the Lord to help me. and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. Hear that? The pit of despair. Maybe you found yourself, you know, there in that place, the pit of despair. That sounds pretty low to me. He lifted me out of the mud and the mire. You know, I hear people saying, you know, right now it feels like walking through molasses. Can't get stuff done. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Hear what God's doing for David? This is the king. He's a leader. He has given me a new song to sing and a hymn of praise for my God. Wow. You know, if David can be depressed and struggling and being tried by the times that were around him, be in the pit of despair, feels like he's walking in a fog, not knowing what to do, not being able to get anything done, but yet he can pray to God and feel that God is lifting him out of this. He's putting him on solid ground. He's putting a new song on his heart. If God can do that for David, he can do it for you, and he can do it for me. I know that's where I have found solace many times in my life, when I don't know the answers and it just feels difficult. It leads to the third habit, and it's been a habit of mine for a very long time. It's preaching to yourself. See, right now, I'm preaching to you, but I'm never up on this stage until I have preached to myself a dozen times. Trust me. I always tell our staff, you know, it's happening to me long before it's happening to you. Before it ever comes out of my mouth, God has already put it in my heart. Preaching to myself. What does preaching to myself mean? It means that you're rehearsing in your heart the promises of God, and you're holding them fast in what he's saying to you. You're remembering the words that he's sharing over and over and over again. I can imagine David reciting that constantly in his life. Remember this: he who did not spare his own son, would he not also give up everything for us? Of course he would. Remember that. You see, the neat thing about being a Christian is we're able to look forward with confidence because we're able to look back, right? Looking back reminds us of the promises of God. So just think for a moment when you're in the midst of the fog, in the midst of the struggle, think back. Where has God been faithful in your life? Where has he come through before? Where did he bring joy into your life in ways that you never thought that was going to imagine? Is it not he going to do it again? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. We're going to move through this COVID-19. We're going to be back in the room together. We're going to be celebrating and dancing and rejoicing. We're going to have fun together in weddings and be able to have conversation. People are going to be able to go back to work. The economy is going to come, yes, and he is going to move and work in our life. And he's going to raise up the sense of depression and struggle and brokenness. And he's going to bring a new song in your heart. Why? Because he's done it before. And he will do it again. The fourth habit is this: have a network of Christian friends. Now, I know some of you online today, that's a new thing. You don't have a bunch of Christian friends. Maybe today is the first time you've ever thought about that. You know, Stephen shared earlier about a wedding. It was my nephew, Jordan, my wife's brother's son, and they got married this past weekend. What I was amazed, they had a virtual rehearsal dinner, and all of their friends were on Zoom online sharing encouragement for Catherine and Jordan. And what struck me was this: they were speaking into their lives about Jesus. They were encouraging them in the decisions that they had to make, even in their dating time, of the value they were finding in one another. They were giving him counsel and advice. The network of Christian friends on both their sides was amazing. I've hardly seen that significance in young couples before. But I think about you listening today. What is your network of Christian friends? Some of you may be really strong with it, and some of you may be going, I don't really have many. I want you to have it. We're here for you. There are hundreds of people that are connected in with this community we call Christ the King Church who will be a network with you. Just join in. You can go online and to our website. You can just click on connect with us or contact us, fill out a connection card. We will help you find Christian friends that will be some of the greatest influence of your life. A fifth one is this: prayer and quietness. Now, this is one of this we could easily pass by, but don't. I don't know how many long walks I've had with God, and this is where it talks about. Isaiah speaks about it in Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. Let me say it again. In returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. You know, sometimes when it's difficult, when it's really difficult, our mind can race. And God is saying, quiet your soul. Come to me. Humble yourself. And I will give you strength. I will save you from yourself. I literally will. And in you, in that trust, you will find strength. The last one's this. And this is the one we can take home. Proceed in a faithful confidence. Not in a confidence in yourself. Remember, we're learning not to find strength in ourselves, but to find strength from God. Proceed in a faithful confidence. God is giving you strength, and He doesn't want us to sit idle. He doesn't want us to stay mired in the clay and staying in the fog. He wants us to be able to move forward. Remember, we're walking with Him. Exodus 15 says this: the Lord is my strength and my song. He's given me the victory. Recite that with me. He has given me the victory. See, I'm going to live forward as if He's already given me a victory. I'm going to step forward in a confidence as I'm hearing His promises, as I'm getting counsel from my friends, as I am kneeling before Him in humbleness, as I'm preaching to myself. I'm able to move forward with a confidence. Paul writes it in Ephesians this way: finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. And that keeps going on. It says He puts on all this armor on the front side, not to sit still, but to go forward in the passion and the trust of God's confidence and His faithfulness. That's a promise for you. It's a promise for me. I have needed it in these times. You need it in these times. How do we persevere in times of difficulty? We find strength with God. He will do it. So I want to ask you, is that what you're doing? Or are you relying only on yourself? If you're here today and you're listening and you're saying, I didn't even know that was possible. It is. I know it has been for me. And the more that I have learned to find my strength in God, I literally can say the more balanced my life is, the less anxious I become, the more hopeful about the future I am, and maybe even more so, the more optimistic I can wake up in the morning to serve God. And that's true for you. I want you to pray with me, and if you've never asked the Lord in your life, I want to lead you in that prayer today. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You today and we humble ourselves to Your favor and to Your strength and to Your grace. We need You now like never before. But even when we move past these times, we still need You, for You are God, and in Your hand is everything that exists today and tomorrow and forever. Father, I pray that we will find our strength in You. It is there for the taking. Remove from our minds and our hearts and our souls these barriers, these walls that have kept us from coming to You. Remove our pride. Remove our control. Remove our impatience. And let us come with Your promises. Let us come gathered around in the community of your people, being reminded of your strength. And let us walk forward with boldness, not in ours, but in your confidence. And Lord Jesus, I ask today, for those that are out here that have never asked you, Father, let's just pray this together. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I'm filled with pride. Lay your hand upon me and forgive me my sins. Open my heart to receive your grace. Let your Holy Spirit fill me with your strength. Move the anxiousness of my mind and put in my feet a confidence to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus, for that gift. I want to follow you. We continue to pray for this world and the struggles in the midst of it right now. We pray for those that are suffering with the coronavirus, for family and friends. We thank you for those that are on the front line of this. We thank you for their dedication, for their passion, for their love, for being out there in front, for providing food, for providing health care, for providing protection, for driving trucks, for taking away trash, for engaging us in ways that allow us to be home and to be safe. Father, I pray for the leaders in our nation, the leaders around the world that have these tough decisions as to balance the needs of economy and resource with being healthy. It's so hard. Give us grace with one another in these days and help us to make good decisions. And Father, most of all, have us seek you more. We see the amazing works that you are doing. I see the amazing works that you are doing. Every day you're calling more and more people to you. You're growing your church on earth in a time that we're not even able to meet in person. And we praise you for that. God, we are yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray.